This is the Practical Teaching Tips Podcast. I am your host, Richard James Rogers, high school science and chemistry teacher and author of the award-winning book, The Quick Guide to Classroom Management. Well, hello there, everybody. Today, we're going to delve into the topic of genius hour. That's right. What is genius hour? Well, before I begin, I want to kind of give a plan for today's podcast episode. I'm going to give a brief overview first. Then I'm going to read a blog post that I have that I've written on the subject, just to keep my information direct and straight to the point. And then at the end, I'm going to give a quick summary and some applications. So basically, genius hour, which is sometimes called 20% time or passion projects, came from the corporate world, actually, where big tech companies like Google would give their employees time and funding, actually, in some cases, to work on their own projects that could potentially help the company. And a lot of great innovations actually came out of it. Gmail, for example, from Google was a result of genius time. And now the educational world, the world of teaching, has kind of cottoned on to this. And many schools are bringing in, and many teachers are bringing in, genius time into their lessons, into the classroom. And I actually think it's a pretty good idea. And I'll explain why at the end of this. But let's go into the blog post first. So I'm going to read it now to you. So, hey there, fellow educators and curious minds. Have you ever wished there was a way to ignite your students' passion for learning, encourage creativity, and foster independent thinking, all while adhering to the curriculum? Well, look no further than Genius Hour. In this blog post, we'll dive deep into what Genius Hour is and explore how it can be applied to high school teaching to create a dynamic and engaging learning environment. And also, everybody, if you're listening to this and you're a primary school teacher or an early years teacher, keep listening, because I am going to describe some ways in which this can be applied lower down the school as well. So first of all, what exactly is Genius Hour? As I mentioned, it's also known as 20% time or passion projects. And it's become an educational concept that grants students a dedicated block of time, typically 1 hour a week, to explore a topic of their choice. During this time, students are encouraged to pursue their passions, conduct independent research, and create projects that reflect their interests and talents. It's a simple yet powerful idea. When students are given the autonomy to learn about what excites them, they become more motivated, engaged, and invested in their education. And I thoroughly believe that, by the way, everybody. Something that I do in school and have done for a few years is something called the CREST Award, which is a science STEM-based passion project type thing, actually. And what the students have to do is they have to investigate an area of science that excites them. And they can really choose how they do it and which direction to go in. And they can even do it in groups. And as long as they produce a decent report at the end of it, it gets sent to the British Science Association. They assess it. And provided it meets the criteria, they get a certificate. And it's a great way to empower students to do their own research, to be open-minded, and to pursue their passions, like I just said. And I get a lot of interest and a lot of uptake in CREST Award. It's a very popular ECA, extracurricular activity. Now, let's talk about the benefits of Genius Hour in a more general sense. So now that we know what Genius Hour is, let's explore the myriad of benefits. So number one, it fosters intrinsic motivation. Genius Hour taps into students' natural curiosity and passions, helping them find personal meaning in their learning. I just love that phrase, personal meaning in their learning. Wow, wouldn't it be great if we could get all of our students to find personal meaning in their learning? Perhaps that should be the goal of all educators. Sounds like something that should be in a school's vision and mission, in my opinion. This intrinsic motivation can lead to increased focus, enthusiasm, and a genuine love for acquiring knowledge. Number two, it encourages critical thinking. When students embark on a self-directed learning journey, they must think critically, set goals, and manage their time effectively. These skills are not only valuable in school, but of course, they're very valuable in real life situations. Number three, Genius Hour promotes ownership of learning. It empowers students to take control of their education. They become active participants in shaping their learning experiences, which can boost their confidence, and a great one, it can boost their self-esteem. And how much we need to boost so many students' self-esteem these days. Self-esteem which has been taken away by devices, by a world which is becoming increasingly superficial and materialistic. We're seeing a lot of young children, a lot of teenagers especially, coming through school now with very low self-esteem. And passion projects can be a real way to empower those students and get them excited about learning and boost their confidence. Number four, it supports diverse learning needs. Every student is unique, and Genius Hour allows for personalized learning experiences. Whether a student excels in writing, coding, painting, or researching, they can harness their strengths to explore their chosen topic. And I'll talk a bit more about ideas for that a bit later. Number five, it sparks creativity, of course. By encouraging students to explore their passions, Genius Hour nurtures creativity. It's a platform for them to dream big, experiment, and develop innovative ideas. And of course, the world belongs to dreamers. Think about Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, Steve Jobs. They created such big, influential companies and products and services because they dreamed big, or they dreamt big, I should say. Number six, develops research and presentation skills. So important today. Students must research and compile information about their chosen topics. Furthermore, they often have the opportunity to present their findings to their peers, honing their research and presentation skills in the process. So, how do we implement Genius Hour in high school teaching, but also lower down the school? Okay, well, first of all, introduction and goal setting. We need to start by introducing the concept of Genius Hour to our students. Otherwise, they're not going to understand what it is and what the purpose is. So explain the potential benefits, explain the purpose, encourage the students to brainstorm their interests and passions, and to set clear goals for what they want to achieve during this dedicated time. And that can happen within a subject area. So the passion project can be something related to mathematics, if that's what you're teaching, or science, art, anything. Or it can be general. I mean, if you are a primary school teacher and you have some general studies time with your students, it can be something that's totally general. If you're doing PSHE, it can be something a bit more holistic and general. Number two, the second thing we must keep in mind is time management. Help students manage their time effectively. This is so important, everyone. Unfortunately, I think this mindset has crept into teaching, whereby we should just give students the bare minimum and let the students explore themes or primers or very basic kind of prompts that we give them and just allow them to roll with it, thinking that they're going to know how to progress with their own learning and they're going to know how to manage their time, and we kind of put all the autonomy on the children. And I think as children get older, especially a lot older when they're in their late teens, there's scope for doing that, I think, you know, in some subject areas. But for the most part, school children are going to need direction and guidance. So it's very important that even skills like managing time are kind of instructed to students, or I should say time management skills are taught to students. Yeah. So if you're doing a passion project, or you're allowing your students to do a passion project and they're doing it for 1 hour a week and they've got a presentation to give in 4 weeks' time, you should be encouraging your students to come up with a plan of action for each week. What goal do you want to achieve in week one? What do you want to achieve in week two? What's your presentation format going to be? Is it going to be slides? Are you going to show a model of something? Are you going to get the audience involved? You have to kind of plan how you're going to do that. So, you know, students are going to need individual help with this. We can't just say to the students, it's genius hour, do what you want, in 4 weeks you've got a presentation. You know, we do have to guide them along the way. So they should have a schedule that allocates time for research, creation, and reflection. Remember those three things, everyone, RCF, research, creation, and reflection. The reflection part's particularly important. Regular check-ins can help them to stay on track. Teacher vigilance, isn't it, guys? Teacher vigilance to make sure that those kids are focused, they're doing what they should be doing. Of course, we're going to have some students who you give them this 20% time, this genius hour time. Some students are going to be lazy. They're going to be distracted. They're not going to be focused. So that teacher vigilance has got to come in, and we may have to guide some students more than others. Number three. Resources, very important. Guidance, as I've said, provide access to resources such as books, online databases. Now, I say this online databases. In my experience, most teachers have never actually accessed an online database, but there are actually lots and lots of them. And in this podcast episode description, in the show notes, I'll put a link to online databases you can give to your students, which can help them. It's also linked in the blog post at richardjamesrogers.com. And also you can get outside experts involved who can assist students in their research. External speakers, mentors from industry, for example, or from a field that the student's interested in. That would be brilliant. You know, building those community links, building links with parents. So much scope for collaboration there. Offer guidance when needed, but try not to steer them too much. Remember, it's their project and they should have ownership of it. However, of course, they're going to need guidance. They're going to need help along the way. Number four, sharing and celebration. Create opportunities for students to share their genius hour projects with their peers. So important. They've got to present it somehow. They've got to share it. Public speaking is one of the most important skills that is sought after by industry experts. Yet it is also one of the most feared things that people experience in their lives. It's the biggest fear of most people. And that's not just a random thing that I'm saying. I think it's the National Association of Statistics or something in America came out with this list of top 10 fears that people have several years ago. And public speaking was number one, ahead of death, Can you believe? So we've really got to get our kids used to presenting in front of the class and used to speaking in front of an audience, because it is such a sought after and such an important skill that employers are looking for. You know, it goes without saying, really. So, you know, those presentations could happen through traditional means like slideshows, could be exhibitions, could even be a virtual showcase. And of course, when the whole thing's over, when they've done their project and they've presented, celebrate achievements and encourage constructive feedback. And that could be from the audience. It could be from you. It could be from a panel of judges, which might comprise some of your teacher friends. It could be from these outside experts as well. Number five, reflection and assessment. Encourage students to reflect on their genius hour experiences. What did they learn about themselves? What challenges did they overcome? How can they apply their newfound skills and knowledge in other areas of their lives? Wow, what a big question. That's the whole point of school, really, isn't it? That what the students learn in the classroom should help them in their real life, in their everyday lives, and not just when they get older someday in the future, when they have the great jobs they're supposed to have and when they're running their own businesses. But they should be able to apply the skills they've learnt in school right away, actually, as soon as they go home for the day. Assessment can be based on their process, effort, and presentation rather than just the final product. Process is very important. Effort is important. Presentations, it's all important. Again, there is this... again, this kind of mindset in education that we should focus on rewarding and acknowledging the effort that students put into things. And I agree with that to a large extent. However, I think in teaching as a whole, especially in the West, unfortunately, we've kind of moved away from celebrating achievement, and we've leaned, I think, too far towards celebrating participation. In the real world, unfortunately, it's very brutal, and employers, judges, you know, the bottom line of a business doesn't really care so much about whether you turned up. Of course, it's important to turn up and it's important to put effort into things. But the final product is important, isn't it? You know, that is what matters in real life. You know, if you deliver a presentation at work and it's terrible and all your figures are wrong and all your slides look awful, there's no excuses. You can't just say, well, I was tired, or, you know, I didn't get sleep the night before, so my presentation didn't go well. Employers don't care about that. They care about the final product. So yes, reward effort. Yes, of course, reward participation, because without effort and participation, you can't create the final product. But also celebrate and give constructive feedback on the final product as well, because that's what matters. It all matters, but the final product, of course, matters just as much as the effort and participation. So to summarize, to wrap up, Genius Hour is a game changer in high school teaching and lower down, offering a fresh and exciting approach to learning. By embracing this concept, you'll not only see your students flourish academically, but also witness their personal growth and self-discovery. So go ahead and unleash the genius within your students. Who knows what incredible discoveries and innovations might arise when they have the freedom to explore their passions and interests. It's time to make learning more engaging, meaningful, and above all, fun. And that concludes the blog post. Now, let me give you a few thoughts on this that I have based on recent and old experiences of mine. I actually think Genius Hour is one of the few things in education that can be used with students of all abilities. You can use this with really, really low ability students who don't grasp even the fundamental concepts. So for example, if you have a bottom set mathematics group and they're scoring zeros on tests, for example, and they really don't understand the fundamentals, of course, we want to help them the best we can, but is it really going to help those students by you trying to teach advanced trigonometry, for example, because it's coming up on their IGCSE exam or the A-level exam or something? Or is it worthwhile for those students to spend some of their time per week working on an area of mathematics that interests them? Now, I think with really low ability students, if you give them this genius hour time, 1 hour per week, where they have to work on something about your subject they enjoy, and they have to present it some way, I think that with really low ability students, at least then they're learning something about the subject, even if it might not be directly related to the curriculum they have to follow. At least they're picking up something, and there will always be some crossover between what they do in their passion project and your subject. And you can help the students develop those links as well. So I think it's really good for lower set, low ability children who maybe sometimes lack the interest in the subject to begin with, or lack the competency in the subject to begin with. Genius Hour, I think, can really help them to develop some basic skills. With your medium and high ability students, I think there's great scope for in-depth discovery and problem solving and investigation with this. And again, I think you can keep it open-ended. Of course, the student should do it on a particular subject area if you're a subject specialist. PSHE, it can be more general. If you're a primary school teacher and you've got this time with your students to explore their own projects, then it can really be anything. And again, I mean, by doing that, you're really showing students that learning is a fun process, that you have some control and some command over what you learn and how you learn. You know, that the school isn't just about following a curriculum. It's also about encouraging you to explore your own interests. And why is that important? Well, of course, when students choose their subjects for university and they choose their life path, they should have a good idea of what they're interested in and in what they want to do. And I think it's such a travesty that so many children, even when they reach their mid-teens, when they're 14, 15, 16, so many don't have a clue about what they want to do in life. And it's a lot. I mean, I've come across so many students who really, by the age of 15 and 16, every student should have an idea of what their career goal is, what they want to do in life, what their passions are, and where they see themselves in 10 years' time. And it's really shocking the amount of teenagers who really don't know that. You know, and we kind of, as teachers, we kind of brush that off as being normal. But I would challenge teachers to think, is it really normal for, and is it really acceptable for a 15 or 16-year-old teenager to not know what they want to do in life? Or at the very least, to not know what they're interested in doing in life, what they'd at least like to do in life. I think by that stage, they should really have some idea of that. And I think passion projects, this genius hour that we give our students per week, I think that can really help our students to articulate their goals for the future and also discover things about themselves and discover what they would like to do with their lives. So I really like the idea of Genius Hour. I think it can be really useful if there's input and lots of input from the teacher. I don't think it's something that we can just give the students time to do and then we relax for an hour every week as teachers. You know, we check our emails and do our admin while the kids are doing their passion projects. I don't think we can treat it like that. There has to be monitoring along the way. There has to be guidance. There has to be those one-to-one conversations with students as they're doing their projects. Students are going to need help with the presentation stage, with the processes, with the source material, even with things like articulating their ideas and the creativity. I mean, we often, again, I think this is a big misconception that adults have in general as well. A lot of adults think that children are naturally creative, particularly when it comes to computer skills, I've noticed. We tend to think that teenagers and children are so good at using computers, and my experience has been the exact opposite, that children and young people need a lot of help with creativity, and they need a lot of help with even creativity on computer systems. So we can't assume that our children are naturally creative. They often need guidance in that way. You know, they often need to be given ideas. You know, perhaps you could use a Google slide. Perhaps you could produce a comic strip. Since you love graffiti, why don't you create some kind of graphic design graffiti logo for your company that you're going to present in 4 weeks' time? You know, since you're really into sports, why don't you think of a passion project to do with the sport that you love? I know you love basketball, so what's a way that you could help basketball students? You know, you got to kind of draw this out of students, I think. And again, it's going to come with one-to-one conversations. But it's very exciting. I think it's a good idea. It would be nice if some kind of national body or international body could be set up that kind of recognizes Genius Hour projects on a more kind of credible level, I guess. International awards, national awards, medals, trophies. That would be really awesome. Like I mentioned earlier with Crest Award, the students get a very prestigious certificate at bronze, silver, and gold level from the British Science Association. And it's become so reputable that universities really look at that, particularly if students get the gold award, because it shows that they've been able to do independent research at university level. So some kind of national or international system to recognize Genius Hour, I think, is a key priority for the future, I think. And if anyone's interested in working with me on something like that, and that can be our passion project together, then email me at info@richardjamesrogers.com. And what do you think? How do you think Genius Hour could be implemented in your classroom with your students? Do you think it's something that would work with students who tend to have poor behavior? In my experience, it can work as long as, again, you're giving students guidance and you're not tolerating students being lazy. I mean, that is going to be an issue with some students. You'll give them this Genius Hour and they'll waste their time, or they'll be distracted, or they'll play games or something, or just won't do the work. So, you know, that is an issue with some students. But I think generally most students will take to this, and they will they'll roll with it, and they'll respond positively to it, provided that there's good resources, good guidance, a good framework, and good recognition and praise. Use your school's reward system. Maybe have your own certification system within school to recognize this. Showcase really good passion projects, not just in the class, but throughout the whole school, perhaps in assemblies or in the school newsletter or on the school's social media. Really start celebrating this. Well, I hope that's helpful everybody. Very interesting topic for today, I hope. If you do have any topic requests for me, then please feel free to email me at info@richardjamesrogers.com. And why not check out my very popular blog for teachers? Blogs seem to be kind of going out of vogue, out of fashion these days. But there's loads of information at my blog, hundreds and hundreds of articles on there. And my blog for teachers can be found at richardjamesrogers.com. Once again, that's richardjamesrogers.com. And if you're interested in a really good book on classroom management, why not check out my award-winning best-selling book called The Quick Guide to Classroom Management, 45 Secrets That All High School Teachers Need to Know. And that's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Blackwell's, and basically everywhere. Even in Walmart, believe it or not. Which makes me very proud as a British person who's never been to America to have his book on sale in Walmart. So very, very cool. So thanks, everybody. Until next time, bye-bye for now.